This is episode number 9 with Redbird defenseman Adam Palat.
Welcome to the two ticket segment on the Friends of McGill Hockey podcast. My name is Quinn Sertic, former McGill hockey player from 2017 to 2021, and the host of this segment. Bi-weekly, I'll be interviewing either a player on this year's roster or a recent McGill alumni with the intention of helping you stay connected to this year's team.
All right, hi everyone, and welcome back to another segment. Very excited to be bringing you another episode with today's guest, Adam Palat. Since we last spoke, the Redbirds have 2 wins and 2 losses. They sit fourth in the OUA East so far, and overall have had a successful campaign. We actually had an awesome Friends of McGill Hockey homecoming weekend where we got to see the boys play, interact with some of the alumni, and then also meet this year's current roster. So without further ado, let's jump into the interview and send it over to Adam Palat.
All right, our guest today is in his 5th year at McGill, currently studying phys ed. Before joining the Redbirds, he played junior A in the BCHL for the Nanaimo Clippers and a couple other teams. Throughout 31 career games, he's registered 3 assists and quite a few scrums. Many of you may recognize him from the hit show Big Mouth, where he plays the character Coach Steve. Just kidding. This guy is one of the hardest working players I've ever met and is truly a blast to be around. Welcome to the Two Tickets podcast, defenseman number 28, Adam Palat.
Thanks, Quinn. Probably could have left my stats out of the intro.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, we got to get them in. Yeah, we got to put some of in there. But what's up, Pillar? How's it been going so far? How's the season been?
Good. Really enjoying the group that we have this year. You know, we have the last 2 years we've had a lot of new faces, and I think this year it's coming together. Like, we had a tough weekend last week, but you know, we have a good group. Like, guys like to work hard. We're all friends with one another, so you know, it's been fun.
Yeah, and last year I guess you guys had quite a few first year players, and we had the COVID break, and then you know, I feel guys are kind of getting a little bit more comfortable, right? From what I can see, playing in the league and whatnot.
Yeah, they are. And like, if you think about it, this year is like really the first year post COVID, because last year I don't think many of them could experience what it is that, you know, the college life, and you know, like the importance of time management, and you know, going to class, meal prepping, and you know, going to practice without having some time off, you know, playing, you know, a full regular season. So I think guys are enjoying it and appreciating every moment of it.
Yeah, and I guess too, being one of those guys that experienced it before COVID, you kind of are now, being in your 5th year, are a leader that can show them kind of the ropes, right?
No, exactly, right? And you know what, though? Like, a lot of the first-year athletes that are coming in, I think guys like, you know, Blanchard, they're dialed in. You know, we're there to help them and support them. But at the end of the day, like, they're working hard. They're getting good grades. They're going to the gym. You know, they're doing everything that it takes. So it's making it very easy on us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll rewind it back a little bit. A little bit of a young Pillar here. So when did you kind of begin hockey, and what started it all for you? Were you always a defenseman, or kind of take us through your hockey career growing up?
No, so I was a forward growing up. So my dad had never played hockey before, even though he loves it. It was my mom. So my mom, you know, she wanted me to be a hockey player. She bought me hockey gear before I was born. And then she taught me how to skate when I was 3 years old, and I started playing right off the bat. So yeah, started right away, and then, you know, fell in love with the game.
Did she ever play any sports or play hockey, or like, what inspired her to kind of get you into it?
Yeah, she played hockey. She was a goalie growing up. She played her entire life. I think she made Team Quebec when she was like 14 or something like that. But yeah, she was a big fan of the game. So I remember when I was a kid, like, she'd bring me to Quebec to go watch the Ramparts play, you know, when I was like 8 years old on a weeknight, you know, mm-hmm. just to watch some hockey. So no, both of my parents were great and fostered my love for the game. You know, they didn't put any pressure on me. but you know, they were there, and you know, that's all you can ask for parents.
Yeah, so I guess you didn't, you say that they didn't put a lot of pressure on you. When I look at you, I feel maybe you put a lot of pressure on yourself, right? You give yourself pretty much the best opportunity to succeed through your habits and your work ethic and stuff like that. Where did that stem from, maybe? I mean, I'm sure your parents were very hardworking, but what really inspired you to produce the work ethic that you currently have?
You know, you gotta dig deep for that one, and it comes down from a dream. And I was lucky to have a really great mentor as a teenager, and you know, he was really good to me. So my dream was to play Division One hockey as soon as I turned four. So he wanted me to play Division One baseball, and then you know, so I stopped playing baseball when I was 14, focused on hockey. But he was always there. I still talk to him to this day. And I guess like I come from like a really hardworking family, but not a lot of money. But my parents really work hard. And I guess when you're a teenager, you don't really understand why. And especially in hockey, right? Kids, a lot of kids are fortunate and have a lot of money. So I've been, you know, I wanted more opportunities for myself, and Bob being my mentor really like guided me in towards like, you know, the importance of getting an education. So when I was done mid AAA, we had a great team. We went to Telus Cup twice. I never got drafted to the QMJHL. So I wanted to learn English so I could go to an English school. And it was very important for me to sort of leave home, learn English, do my grade 12 to increase my chances of playing college hockey.
So you
And
want to
I
play
guess
college
like when you're a
hockey?
kid, right? Like, yeah, and if you think about it, like I think I was that kid. I was soaking up everything, like you know, like the cliches. But you know, when your coach is telling you to be on time or to go to bed early or you know, to stop at the line, like you know, I was soaking in all of that and believing, you know, every word of it. So,
Yeah.
you know, I had a dream, and I was just you know, soaking in everything I could from every coach that I had.
Yeah, that's great. And I think too, people or kids, it's the little things nowadays, maybe when you have practices and you don't want to be there, but stopping on a bag skate from 1 inch from the line or the line, like it all those times add up and makes the difference. And you'll kind of, you probably found, hey, all these kids, like they're maybe not working as hard, but I'm now passing them because of work ethic, or I'm developing because I'm taking everything in and being coachable. Like that's always something you could probably reflect on.
Yeah, and as you get older, you start realizing that hard work, discipline is such an important skill in life. You know, when you're a kid, a teenager, you don't particularly see it that way. You know, maybe other kids make fun of you and whatnot, but as you get older, you realize the importance of how far you can go by just working really hard.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess for that, you said that you were from Quebec, and I know from playing against you in the BCHL, it wasn't I didn't like you back then, but I remember that you moved, I guess, from Quebec all the way to Nanaimo, and you already mentioned it here, one of the main reasons was English. What made you decide kind of to head out that way besides college hockey?
You know, it was to create new opportunities for myself, and my mentor really ingrained that at me that, you know, it'd be probably beneficial for me to become a new person, to make new friends, lifelong friends that are from all around the world. And so that became important to me. So when I went to BC, I kind of tricked my parents because I was supposed to play junior AAA back home. My brother is a year younger, and we hadn't played together in a long time. We were both supposed to play junior AAA in Battlefield. So I told my parents, no, I'm going to go to Nanaimo, and they didn't really want to. So I ended up going, told them I was on the team. Turns out, like, I was just, you know, I walk on a team, and there was like full roster, so there was no room for me. And I had to pay for everything. So I was like, in my mind, I was like, there's no way I can come back home. So I started asking around like what I can do. And they're like, yeah, the coach likes fighting a lot. So I was like, all right, I guess that's what I need to do. And at the same time, you know, I learned a lot because you're there And then you don't really understand every conversation. And the hardest part, especially that first year, was to communicate with others, not being able to express my own opinion. But at the same time, I grew so much. Like, I was a kid that liked to talk a lot, but just from being able to sit and just listen without being able to talk, it just, I think it changed me. And going through all that adversity made me a new person, sort of like changed my friends group, made lifelong friends. And, you know, I think that was a big turnout point for me in my life.
So that's pretty incredible. So you went to Nanaimo, they already had a full roster, they already committed all their players, and then you basically tried out, and then the coach said, hey, we love your work ethic, we're going to keep you, and they traded or cut other players?
Yeah, so they had just traded a guy, I think it was a 19 or 20 year old from the OJ, and then I got into a good scrum, good fight with this older guy from Alberni too. I think he was your captain or assistant captain. So after that, afterwards, the trainer told me, like, that's when the coach told him, yeah, he's staying on the team. So then they just literally cut that guy that they traded for. And then a couple of weeks later, like, our coach was good, but he was crazy. We get this guy from the USHL. So I'm like, man, I'm going to get cut. So then I block a shot and my finger's all crooked. And then I come back to the bench and I'm like, Whitey, can you tape? That was our trainer. I'm like, can you tape my finger? So Whitey tapes her finger, and then I guess the other guy that came in like had a groin injury or something. And then the trainer told me again after, he was like, yeah, the coach liked the fact that I played through a broken finger. So that's kind of funny, right?
It's a hell of a long way from the heart.
Exactly. Candy ass.
Yeah, candy ass. No, that's great, man. Yeah, I remember it. Like, you were forward, I think, when you were in Nanaimo and I was in Alberni Valley, and you were running around chirping on the bench, and I was like, oh my God, like, just shut up. Like, it threw all of us off our game. We would get so focused and mad at you, that you guys, I mean, you guys were a great team, but we were distracted from what our job was to do. So I think, and then it's a small world, you come to the team and, you know, 2 or 3 years later, we meet again at McGill. So that's very cool. Now, you mentioned your mentor. Do you mind sharing who that person is, or is it like, was he a player or just a family relative?
So his name is Bob Blow. He was my baseball coach when I was 14 years old. And then, so he would pick me up for every practice, every game, bring me back. And every time we were in the car, they were like life lessons. Like, he coached both of his kids. One of his kids ended up being drafted in the MLB twice. So when I stopped playing, like, I didn't have that, like, person to turn and to ask all those questions. So one time I just picked up the phone and I called him. And the thing I liked the most about him is he was always honest. And, like, he could, you know, rip me apart being really honest. And he would, you know, telling me when I did a good job and whatnot, but he was always honest. He would never call me. He would always pick up he would always answer my calls. He never told me what to do, but he always gave me advice. You know, like, he was just there for me when I needed him, and he was always there. And, you know, I still call him. I called him last week. Like, he's a great man, and shared with him all my failures and successes, and tremendous person in my life. And quite frankly, I think he's the reason why I wanted to become a coach. He had such an impact on me as a mentor. And, you know, I'm hoping that later on in life, I'll have the opportunity to do the same for others. So yeah, I think that he's the reason why I'd like to become a coach.
Nice. Nice. And two, I think that's important where you have someone that is kind of external, but you value their input because you respect what they're saying, whether it's, you know, they're not just blowing smoke up your butt because, hey, you're doing great. Keep going. If you're not playing well, they'll tell you. If you're not doing this, they're telling you. And you always value, I find, someone's opinion more that way than either always negative or always positive. Like, you probably feel the same.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like tough love, if you want, right? I remember the first time he came and watched me play, I was so proud. I was like 15. And then pick up a phone, I call him, and he started ripping me apart. He's like, well, you didn't skate hard enough back to the bench. You're not in good enough shape and all that stuff, right? So, no, he was great.
Yeah. Awesome. So I guess from the BCHL, what made you decide to come to McGill, or how did you get recruited, or how did that whole process work for you?
My 20-year-old year, I ended up finishing the season in the Maritimes Hockey League, which, it was fantastic. But so I was going to go play Division III. It was a great gig. It was not expensive at all, which was my parents were really happy. And, the coach promised me all sorts of playing time, and it was going to be great. And then, funny enough, I'm on the highway coming back from Ottawa, and I see this guy, Lawrence. He used to be the media guy on my Midget Triple A team. And he looks at me and he says, pull over. So I pull over on Highway 417 and we start chatting. And he's like, yeah, I'm a scout for McGill now. And then we were talking about you last week. We're looking for some D's. Would you like to come to McGill? And in my mind, I'm like, and even being from Montreal, I never thought about going to McGill. So I'm like, yeah, that'd be fantastic. So then I start to talk with Kelly, and it was like, all right, we have a spot for you, but there's no playing time guarantee. No, you're gonna have to earn everything. And then at that point, I knew I wanted to become a coach. I start, doing my research, listen to Mike Babcock, one of his speech on YouTube, made a few phone calls, and it was an easy decision.
Yeah, and I kind of had the same speech. I feel being a tier two junior A guy, you have all these top end major junior players coming in. And Kelly kind of said the same thing where, hey, you're gonna come. We can't guarantee you ice time. You're going to one of the best universities in the country, in the world. How's that sound? And I thought, at least he's honest, instead of promising all these different things to a million different players, and you kind of are able to work your way. But I found the culture, regardless of if you were playing or not, you still felt part of the team, and you probably felt the same way, which was really nice.
Yeah, and you're a hard-working guy too. You work your bag off on and off the ice. When you were on the team, and you still do work hard. So I'm sure that challenge of coming to McGill really excited you. But yeah, that's the thing that my first year. In junior, when you don't play, you feel part, but not so much. Because I got scratched a couple of times my first year. I don't know if you did, but in my first year, McGill played two games, but never one time when we hung out, all the boys, that I felt inferior. And that meant so much to me. It was Penny, remember, the second year, who came back from the A, fourth year guys and really talented guys. And there was other guys like Orzi, who also had, as part of adversity, didn't play that much. He was a fourth year, and he was included too. Like, he was, a teammate, a brother, and that's the one thing that I'll forever remember.
Yeah, I guess, and those brothers, I mean, I was gonna bring it up later, but we can bring it up right now. I remember during March pre-pandemic, we decided last minute, me, you, Penny, Orzi, Keanu, Kramer, Renault, so seven guys decided to go to Nashville for reading week, and we took a minivan, but very last minute, if that dynamic and that dynamic of players. We had top players, we had scratch guys, we had, Penny, who was pretty much 90 at the time. We had a bit of everything. So, how was that trip for you? And I think that's kind of what college is all about.
Hey, what a trip we had, eh? 20 hours straight. I think we left at what, 4 in the afternoon, and then just drove 20 hours straight to Nashville.
Yeah, so I had a midterm exam, and you guys picked up the rental car. We rented a minivan, seven guys in one car, and I remember I had an exam 2 to 4, and the guys I was trying to write the exam, but I was just so excited. So you guys picked me up, honking the horn outside the near the McGill wherever field house, and we jump in the car, and then boom, 17 hours or 20 hours straight overnight. Get there at 12 p.m. and just have a blast. We were there for the weekend, got to see Keanu's brother play against Nashville, and it was the I think the best trip I've had. So fun and so last minute.
Wow, it was awesome. Those are memories to remember for the rest of your life. 7 guys in a minivan. it was great. But on the way back, you know, like we were quite tight in the van, but it was all worth it. No, it was great. There's not much country music in Montreal, and we all enjoy it. So we had a blast listening to country music there.
Yeah, and two, it was right before the pandemic too, so we got kind of fortunate to go somewhere. But like your point, the way back is a little bit harder than the way there. You're so excited and pumped up, and then you head back and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted.
Remember the last night we were at the club? They kicked us out because there was like a major tornado warning, and you know, I was like, well, what's going on? And the next day when we came back to Montreal, we just saw like all the signs on the highway were down, a bunch of trailers were down, like this crazy tornado.
Yeah,
Nuts.
I think that was kind of funny because, well, not funny, but we'd never, being from Canada and Montreal, when will we ever experience a tornado, right? So they're doing this tornado warning, and we're thinking, you know, what is this? We've never had this. What do you do? Like, we're just here to enjoy our time, and then we get back the next day, we're like, oh my gosh, like this is
It was
something pretty
crazy.
serious. It was crazy, but fun trip nevertheless, and it was a great time, man. So now, being in your final year, you've kind of experienced a little bit of everything. How has it been for you? You know, you had your first 2 years, normal year, COVID, then you had you know, now you're in your fifth year. I can't believe it already. You know, how has it been so far?
It's been a roller coaster. Like I said, I've enjoyed every minute of it, but I've had, you know, three coaches. We had COVID, you know, played with a ton of different players. So as you reflect back in your in my fifth year, like you learn so much, right? You go through so much, and but you don't have time to sit back. Like when you're in college, it's you gotta focus on the day that's in front of you. You know, the next exam, the next practice, like, because time goes by so quick. Like, I can remember, like, you know, my first day at McGill as if it was yesterday, and it's been 5 years already. I'm sure you feel the same now. Like, you're an alumni, and I'm sure you feel like it was yesterday. Like, you were the social captain. Now you're like a grandpa when you're considering.
I know, I'm retired. It sucks, but you gotta move on, start the next chapter. So, but I like doing this and talking to you guys to at least still feel part of it, which is nice. And I feel McGill is very demanding with the athletics and academics and the standard they set. Now, you're one of those guys that I am too a little bit, that values time management. Where did you get that characteristic from, and maybe take us through some of the strategies you use to balance kind of everything, because you're still there at the social events, you're still obtaining great grades and still performing on the ice.
Where did I learn that? I don't know. I can't tell you that I've learned it. I just think it's from that desire of wanting to do well, and then you find solution. You figure it out. I remember when I first came to McGill, my first class, I have my notebook. I'm lefty, and I can only write on my right-hand side, and I'm like, this is not comfortable. And now I see everyone with a computer. I'm writing down what's on the PowerPoint. And now I'm realizing that everyone has the PowerPoint on their computer. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, you know, because when you play junior hockey, you're sort of like out of school. It was like sort of like my first experience studying English too. So another lecture, like you need to do that. Another assignment, like you're never on top of your thing. So, you know, you got to prioritize, you know, what's important. And for me, like, I'm a little bit more old school, as you can see in the back here. Like, I've got my whiteboard that I like to plan, like, you know, the to-do list, the today, tomorrow, the week, and then like another board for them. And then you just plan the next day and fill in the blanks with what needs to be done. And then boom, you know, you find a way to manage to put in your workout, go to practice, do your meal prep, and do your homework.
Yeah, exactly. And I find you learn from others as well. I mean, that whiteboard thing, now I have one in my room for planning the week and your workouts, your
But
what you
I
have
say
to do
that,
today.
and sorry to cut you off, but as you walk into McGill dressing room, like what I've learned from others in the dressing room. Like we're lucky enough to walk in McGill and we have, you know, 20 something friends. And they're not all first years. They've been there. So when you have a question, I remember a guy like Reggie Bois. He was my mentor. And whenever I had a question, he had time for me. He helped me. He means so much to me. Like he made my first year so much easier. And then you look in the locker room and the guys have the same schedule as you and some of them are more busy even, and they find a way. So you start looking left and right and you know, picking ideas from maybe what I can take from this guy, what I can take from this guy, what do I not want to take from a particular guy? Because there's things you don't want to take from some guys, of course. So you just learn that way, right? Looking left and right and taking from others.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when maybe we're doing jersey night on a Tuesday, you know, maybe you don't want to take that habit every week. So,
you know what? Unfortunately, I've never been a jersey night. Looking at that, I think I should.
Well, you got to have one this year. You got to have one this year. You guys got to bring it back.
At least one. Yeah.
Yeah. But you pick and choose your battles. I find that now as you get older, you were a bit more mature in college than I was. But I pick and choose. So I guess for after school, you mentioned coaching. One thing we can talk about briefly, in the summer, you run your advanced player development. So you have your own kind of hockey coaching, skills development. How did that all start? And what's your plan for the future after your college career?
So honestly, how it came about, I just felt like I was never good enough of a player. So as soon as I started 18, I had never done power skating and any of that stuff, like skills training. So I started looking for information for skills coaches left and right, changed the way I skate, changed the way I think the game. As we mentioned, you know, I was trying to fight a lot in junior. And then you realize that, you know, when you do that, you're tense on the ice and you're not making good plays. And then, so I was always trying to improve my skating and everything. So, but I knew I wanted to become a coach. I would mark down everything and always seeking new information. And the first couple of years at McGill, I'd go to the coaches' side conference and do these conferences. So I'd mark down everything. And then one time I just met, I was working for the city of Chateauguay and then talking skill development with some dad that I've never seen. And then, so I started exchanging on my philosophy on skill development and skating. And he goes, I'm an advisor for prep school and I got a bunch of guys and, you know, would you like to give a practice? And at that point I had never done it. So I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll give a practice. So when comes Christmas time, he gives me a call and back in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, I'll give a few practices and that's going to be it. And then, you know, they loved it. Kept giving practices to those guys. They still come back. And then my buddies that were playing pro, it was COVID year. So then they were looking for some ice. So they came. And then that next summer, I did a little bit more for a little program. And then last summer, you know, I had to make the jump full time. You know, I got a gig, really good gig with Stansted College. So I'm running their high performance camp there and I'm doing my own stuff. So, you know, it kind of came about just like that naturally. So, but it's been great.
Nice. And well, you're also taking education too, so that's helped as well, I'm sure, with studying physical education, and now you're using your degree to translate over to your post career, and that's pretty cool. You went from kind of a fighter to now a skill development guy, and yeah, in my opinion, it's awesome that you were able to adapt and change to something you want to do. For coaching, where do you see kind of yourself getting into next? Do you want to start right with older kids, younger kids? What would be your plan?
So I guess right now I'm doing a lot of, you know, skating and player development, but I'd like to coach a team later on. Probably older, definitely elite level players. You know, I like the attention to details and really digging deep. My phys ed degree has been tremendous. I'm in my fifth year, but because of COVID, I got one more year. So I'm going to apply for my master's degree in sports psychology. I'd like to do that. You know, I'm really interested in culture and leadership. So like, how do you identify, you know, the leaders on your team and how you foster leadership, you know, a culture of excellence. I think they're really important things. So then who knows, maybe I'll come back next year for a last dance, I guess. But I don't know where the journey will take me, but definitely I want to go to places where I can learn from great mentors and great coaches.
Yeah, that's interesting. I remember we had the Friends of McGill Hockey alumni weekend, and one guy mentioned culture, and he mentioned reading this book, The Gridiron Mindset. I forget what it's called. I was reading it, but everything stems back to culture, right? And I thought it was very interesting where in this book, they talk about all these high profile NFL teams with superstar skilled players and how important it is that everyone buys into the system. So I think for you to examine that is very interesting and something that I think you'd be really good at.
And I think what's really cool about coaching is lifelong learning. Like the more I learn about the game, the more I feel like I don't know anything about it. And that's the beauty of it. There's always something else to learn. Learn from somebody else or a new tactic or anything. Like there's just so much there, and you never feel like you're fulfilled and happy with what you know. There's always something else to know, and you know, I find that pretty interesting.
Yeah. So we only have a couple minutes left. We'll rip into the rapid fire question, but it's been great so far, Pillar. So appreciate your time today. So I'm just going to bang out some questions and just reply nice and quickly, just like your hands. So what's your favorite lift since you're a gym freak? Bench, squat, what do you prefer?
I'm going to go dumbbell press and box squat.
Okay. Love that. Who is your favorite player growing up?
That has changed, but it was PK Subban.
Oh, nice. Who's it today?
Today I don't have any. I just like, you know, watching the game and learning from different players. So I can't say like I see it from like a fan perspective where I have one favorite player. But I really enjoy watching Cale Makar play right now.
Yeah. I was going to say Trevor Zegras because you do the Zorro every pregame warm-up, but
it just makes me feel pretty good, you know.
Yeah. What's your favorite cheat meal?
Man, poutine.
Poutine. Fair enough. What is your favorite book?
The Obstacle is the Way from Ryan Holiday.
I asked you your favorite book as well because in your little McGill thing, you said you don't watch TV, so. That's me doing my homework right there.
Good.
Thank you. What has been your favorite hockey-related memory at McGill so far?
I would say it hasn't been accomplished yet.
Oh, nice. Nice answer. Where was your last vacation? I already know, but I thought it was cool.
In Arizona?
Yeah, that looked like a fun trip.
Oh, that was awesome. That was awesome.
How come you went there?
And my roommate is Felix Tournier, of course. His dad is Andre Tournier. He's the head coach of the Arizona Coyotes. So we went there. We were able to stay at his place, use his car. And then we were lucky enough to train, you know, in the gym, on the ice, you know, with the Coyotes there. It was in August. So for one full week, we'd just go to the gym and train with these guys on the ice.
Weren't you skating with like Austin Matthews and stuff?
Yeah, Matthews was on the ice one time. Phil Kessel was there. Paige Thompson. Shane Doan was coaching us there. It was a very cool experience. We also got to go to like San Diego. You know, we had a good time as well. It was amazing. Oh,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
But Matthews is just awesome. Yeah. Like the way he his style, the way he skates is just the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you hold your own? You didn't try and fight him?
No, man. No, My gap control was pretty poor. I just kind of let him skate around. I just didn't want him to deke me.
Yeah. Who's your favorite NHL coach?
My Babcock.
Very good.
Right now, I'll say Marty St. Louis.
Nice, nice. I thought you might have said Herb Brooks, but not an NHL coach, no?
Come on.
Come on, Herb.
Nobody's squinting here.
And as always, if you could give one final piece of advice to incoming freshmen, what would it be?
Share yourself with others. There's always going to be a challenging time. You know, you're going to battle through adversity, whether it's at school, hockey, family, girlfriend related. And, you know, when you come to the rink, everybody's smiling because we're all happy to be there. But sometimes when you're, you know, first or second, you think you're the only one. We're all going through something. We're all there to help. So don't be afraid to share yourself with others and ask for help.
Nice. Very good. All right, Pillar. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Have a good one, brother.
All right. Thanks, Quindog. Have a good one.